But I asked Wednesday night, and I wanted to ask Sunday morning, I want to ask one more time, I want to ask when a bigger crowd was here. This is a very nice child's youth toboggan that was found out in the under the drive-thru. So if your child lost a toboggan, if nobody claims it, if your child wants a toboggan, this is yours, all right? A few Sunday mornings ago, I stood here on the subject of consecration to God, and I read out of Joshua and talked about Joshua calling the children of Israel to an act of consecrating their life to God as they were going into the promised land to possess the land that God had given them as a promise. And so for them to be able to get there and to enjoy that, they had to go through an act of consecration to God. Aaron, I think I'll go to the handheld, I think, if that's all right. This sweater is making this not work right. So when they consecrated their life to God, I preached to you that morning. I remember I said, I didn't plan this. I didn't write it down and what it's not in my outline. But I remember I said to you that this year we were going to focus on some things. That just came out as I was preaching. That we were going to focus on consecrating our life to God. We were going to focus on sanctification, living a holy life to God, before God. That we were going to talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit and living a powerful life for God. And we were going to talk about the authority of the Word and how we're dedicating ourselves and rededicating our lives to the Word of God, the authority for humanity. And so there are other things we're going to talk about, of course, but as I was thinking about this morning, us being together, I thought about what Jesus said in John chapter 17 and verse 17, where he said, "Sanctify them by thy truth, thy word is truth." Now, I'm not going to quibble with you today. It's not my intention, but there's a lot of Bible teachers that say that John 17 is actually the Lord's Prayer. Because if you read that, you will find that that opens up, that chapter opens up with Jesus bringing us to God in prayer. And that whole chapter is he's lifting us up in prayer. And he says, I not only pray, he wasn't just praying for his 12, but he said, I'm praying for all those that they're going to touch. I'm paraphrasing, of course, but that is a relevant word to you and I today. And so as he prayed for us, he prayed for us to be sanctified. Now, if the Lord prayed for us and said, I pray for them to be wealthy, we'd pay attention to that, wouldn't we? If he prayed for us and said, I want them to be healthy, we would grab onto that or whatever. But here he prayed a specific prayer over us that said, I pray for them to be sanctified. Now, we are a Pentecostal holiness church. Our church was birthed in the holiness revival that sprung out of the Great Awakening. We were holiness before we became Pentecostal. And so that holiness vein in us runs deep and runs a long time, and one that we will never dismiss or lay down. We appreciate the holiness life and what that is, what we're called to, how we're called to live. But sanctification is a ministry of the Holy Spirit that brings us into a sanctified experience. Now, I will talk more about this as we go, but this, we're sanctified by the Word, and so I'm going to talk about both today. Because we live in a postmodern world. Western culture that we live in is heavily influenced by postmodernism. And postmodernism denies absolute truth. Postmodernism says you cannot say anything is absolutely accurate or absolutely true, I should say. Postmodernists say that truth is a moving target. It's fluid. It's something that nobody can really identify. It cannot be claimed by anybody. If we say that we have truth, then, you know, they say that's an impossibility. And so the church is affected by the spirit that is in the world. growing numbers, it's shocking, but growing numbers of church members in the body of Christ are questioning long believed doctrinal truths. Many say that who are we to judge somebody else's life? We say things like, well, I would never do that, but who am I to say you can't? We say things like, well, I know that's the way things used to be, but you know, things change. You know, times change and the world changes. And so we make excuse for the move away from what God has called, how God has called us to live. We've gotten so used to, and I'm not dare going to go to Sunday school class and talk about it today, but it was one of the most powerful places that I've sat in a long time. My Sunday school class today was a power-packed place of ministry. And I was moved in my spirit about to hear what was being said in my class today about dedication, consecration, devotion, and all of the above that was said in there. Trust, it was just an amazing place. But you and I have got to remind ourselves that God has called us to a place, that we're not called just to do the best we can or just to live any way that's comfortable for us or just to kind of make our own way through life. No, the Lord says, here's a mandate. Are you ready? A mandate, an order. God has given the church an order. And that order is, be ye holy, for I am holy. We don't get to ignore that and think that we can make it. God has called us to live a sanctified life. God has called us to be sanctified by the truth, which is the word. So when we talk about truth, we got to talk about what does that really then mean? Remember how Pilate addressed that when Jesus was before him? And he said, what is truth? That was not a real search for truth. That was Pilate sneering at, it was not postmodernism then, but it was that spirit that said, what's truth, you know? I mean, who can identify truth? Who can say what truth is, you know? And so there's a lot of folks that got that Pilate spirit on them, you know? But the word truth defined simply means that it's the exact opposite of false. That's deep, isn't it? But that truth implies a standard. That when we talk about something that is true, then there's a standard to meet. I didn't know this. I really did not know this. But just this morning, I'm sitting out there, and I thought, it just popped in my brain about a compass and true north. And so I just duck-go'd that real quick and found out that there was way too much to talk about this morning. But there's a magnetic north and there's a true north. And I did not know that magnetic north was fluid, that it changed, because the magnetic pull in the north of the globe changes. I didn't know that. And so that is a moving target. But there is a place called True North, and that is where the North Pole is. That is an imaginary line where hits the exact northern place of the globe, and that is unchanging. True North never changes. True North is always true, and you can always count on it. It's the same with the South as well, the South Pole. And so those things are not moving. And so when we talk about what is truth, we're talking about things that do not move, things that cannot be altered, things that cannot be changed, things that it doesn't matter what the world says about it, it's still true. It doesn't matter if everybody runs away from it, it's still true. It don't matter if they drive down a rash road and look over at us and call us names. The truth is the truth. And I know that there are people that would talk about it. They do talk about us. They do make fun of us. They do challenge us. They don't want any part of us because they think, well, that church is so dogmatic, they don't give any wiggle room. Well, I'll tell you something. It's not that we don't give you any wiggle room. It's that God's word does not give us any wiggle room from moving away from what saith the word of Almighty God. Can I get some help this morning? I tell you, We've got to devote ourselves to what saith the word of God without backing up or backing away from it. And so understand that truth says this, that it's defined as being transcendent, which means that it transcends all time, that if it was true in 1800, it's true in 2026. It is fundamental, which means it supports everything else that we build upon. It's a spiritual reality. And the Greek word for truth simply means to correspond to reality. So when Jesus said, sanctify them by thy word is truth. Our truth, thy word is truth. That we're sanctified by the word of truth. Now the church of God teaches that sanctification comes subsequent to the new birth. That it's through faith in the blood of Christ, through the word, and by the Holy Ghost. Defined, it literally means to be set apart. It means to be made holy. It's an act of dedication and service to Almighty God. So when we talk about living a sanctified life, the church views sanctification in two major ways, two major directions, I should say, both of them accurate. Number one is this idea that this thought that John Wesley taught was that sanctification. John Wesley, I believe that sanctification was, he thought it was the baptism of the Holy Ghost. John Wesley taught that. John Wesley said sanctification was the fullness of love, complete love. He testifies to his own sanctifying work. It was at Aldersgate in England. And he had this spiritual moment where he said that he was filled with liquid fire, is the way he defined it. And that liquid fire filled him, and that he was filled with the Spirit and sanctified. And he preached that through the Methodist Church all over the world and the doctrine of sanctification. He believed that it was a progressive work, which means that it was something that was practically done. Ephesians 5 and 26 says that Jesus might sanctify and cleanse it, talking about the church, with the washing of water by the word of God. That is progressive. Washing is something that is done, that is not ended. You wash your car, you're going to have to wash it again. You take a shower, you're going to take another one. I mean, you know, it's just something we do. And so sanctification is a work of God that continues in our life, but through the because of the blood and by the word of God. I'll get back to that just in a moment. The writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews 13 and 12 that he might sanctify and cleanse it with, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood. So we see that sanctification is a work that goes on in our life to make us more like God as we go. Now, the word of God is like what? It's a mirror. Remember that where Paul said that we look through a glass darkly. We look into the word of God as a mirror that reflects us in the word of God. The word of God reveals who we are, and the word of God reveals how we live. And when the word of God convicts us of something, then it is our responsibility to repent of that and to line ourselves up to what saith the word of Almighty God. It doesn't matter how you feel. What does the word say? It doesn't matter what you think. What does the word say? It doesn't matter what mama taught you, what daddy taught you, what your church taught you. What does the word of God say? You can find all kind of churches online today if you wanted to that will stand there and tell you it's all right for a man to marry another man or a woman to marry another woman or to live outside of wedlock and fornicate. They'll tell you it's all right to get drunk and it's all right to get high and it's all right to do this or to do that. But my question is, beloved, what does the word of God say? I'm here to tell you that let God be true, but let every man be a liar. Come on, somebody, and help me, will you? I mean, I don't hate anybody, and y'all know that, and I know you don't hate anybody. I know that. I mean, we're not haters around here. But see, that's what the world wants to do to shut you down. The world wants to shut you down, so what do? They call you, if you have a biblical view of marriage and the role of husbands and wives and children and all that, they'll call you a misogynist. They'll call you a hater. I mean, that you hate gays and that you hate all these other kind of people. You hate women that had abortions and you hate men that paid for abortions. Now, Berea Church of God, hear me. I don't have to tell you this because you know me. And I know there'll be people listening on the podcast that do not know me. But I want to make it very clear today that I hate no one. I love everybody. God loves everybody. But there is a standard. There is a true north that you and I have got to hold on to. And that is what says the word of Almighty God. It don't matter what everybody else is doing. Sanctify them by thy word. Thy word is truth. It's time to walk in accordance to what says the word of God. Somebody help me give God a good praise offered right now, will you? Sanctify them. Salvation is forgiveness and deliverance. Sanctification is a personal cleansing by the word and by the Spirit of God through the blood of Christ that brings consecration and devotion to God. I've already told you about Wesley, but not only is sanctification progressive or practical, but sanctification also is definite or instant, and that is viewed in a legal term. Because Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 1 and 2, he said he wrote to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus. Not being sanctified, not washing, but are. So they are clean and you are sanctified. And Jesus, going back to the text, said sanctify them. That is again an instant place, a legal place where God views us as being sanctified holy. The Church of God for years and the Holiness Revival for years taught that John Wesley taught, and the Church of God teaches this through Wesley's influence, that sanctification is a second definite work of God's grace. Salvation is first, sanctification is second, and baptism in the Holy Ghost is third. Definite works from God. And so when we are sanctified, the day was, and I'm kind of ashamed to say that because it sounds like we don't do that today. We do this today, but it's just done, how we do it is differently. But back in the day, I remember once you got saved, you had to get sanctified. Anybody remember those days where they led you up to the altar or encouraged you to go to the altar by grabbing your hand and jerking you out of your pew, encouraged you to pray to be sanctified? Remember that? That they counted. I still have on my reports that I send in. I send in, and Dee Dee and Cody, you know, we're credentialed ministers, and so we send in reports every month. And in our reports that we send in every month, there's a thing there that asks how many people have been sanctified under your ministry this month. And so that's how the church for many years had viewed sanctification. That we prayed people through to where they would testify, the Lord sanctified me today. Or the Lord sanctified me tonight. God still does that. But God is also, as I already preached, is doing that. Do you understand what I'm saying? That from a legal standpoint, God does sanctify the believer, but from a practical standpoint, we are being sanctified. But the bottom line is, both are correct in their application, but what we've got to remember is that what is really vitally important here is that we understand that God has called us to a sanctified life. I listened this morning. I told you I ain't going to talk about it, and I didn't promise I wouldn't talk about it, but I said I wasn't going to. But I would just mention, you know, listening to Brother Mark today, you that were in Sunday school today, wasn't it fantastic? I mean, our class was amazing. And I'm not calling you to preach, Mark, but maybe you need to listen closely. No, I'm just teasing. Well, kind of teasing, not really, kind of. But he just killed it, and he was testifying, and he testified about being comfortable. That slapped me. I wanted RT, I don't mean to be telling private conversations, but it's private, not in the sense of like private, but personal would be a better word. RT and I were talking before you all got here today. And we were talking about RT's one of the very few now that have been here ever since we've been here, ever since we moved here. A long time dear friend, long time supporter, lover of the Berea Church of God. But anyway, we were talking about where we're at in our journey. Now, you know that we're going to be celebrating this year paying off $1.2 million of debt. And we have plans for all year, for every month this year. It's going to be special, but I'm not going to take time to talk about that while I preach. But we were talking about what's next. Paying off a debt is wonderful. Not sending out $8,000 a month to a bank is going to be wonderful. But what's next? Has God called us, Mark, to be comfortable? Has God called us to put Roy trust in bank accounts? Or has God called us to evangelize the world? Are you with me? I'm not trying to scare you by saying what's coming next, because I don't know the answer to that. I just know this, that when the day comes that you and I decide that comfort is more important than anything else, Ichabod will be written over the door. The glory of God will be lifted from the house. Why does God care about your tithe and your offerings? Because it finances ministry to reach a world that's lost and dying without God. That's why he cares. He don't care about your money. It ain't about the bank account. It's not about how much we have in the accounts. It's not bragging about all that kind of stuff. It's not about bragging about paying off $1 million debt. It's about what's next. How do we reach a world that's dying without God? Well, if we think that we're just going to cross our fingers and hope they walk through the doors, we're blinded. If we think that we can just kind of wish them in, it don't work like that. If we think we just kind of get nest egg bigger and set on money and feel good about the, because the money becomes our fortress, and the book of Proverbs says that's foolishness, and our hope is not in money. God doesn't need money. What God needs are people that are obedient and humble in the hands of God and will allow God to use them to reach a world that needs salvation. Can I get somebody to praise the Lord right now? That's what God needs. He needs people that will be obedient to Him to reach a world that needs Him. And so sanctified people that refuse to be comfortable, that refuse to let the world lull them to sleep, to pray in the recliner like we heard this morning, or to allow ourselves just to kind of lay back and doze while the world is burning and going to hell, that's what the devil wants. The devil is a great singer of lullabies. He's wonderful at lulling you to sleep. He's great at making you comfortable and fat and sassy. But God is all about stirring up the nest and calling us into a world that desperately needs His love. Amen, Brother Steve. One of my favorite verses of Scripture. I don't like to say favorite. I told you that, but every now and then I let that slip because I love the word. But it's found in the law, the book of Numbers, where God, and I paraphrase, but God told Israel, He said, as an eagle stirs over its young and stirs up the nest. And I read that long time ago, and I made notes in my Bible about that, because the eagle or the bird, when the eaglets or the babies are hatched and they're getting older, the way to get them to jump out of the nest is to stir it up. So the eagle will stir the nest up, flapping wings and making it uncomfortable, even getting sticks and rocks and bringing it to the nest, putting it in the nest to make it uncomfortable. That's what the bird does. So that one day the eaglets will go, I've had enough of this. And out they jump. And they never know they can fly. Are you ready? Until they jump. They don't know they can fly because mama taught them in homeschool. One day you'll fly. No, that ain't how they learn. They learn they can fly by jumping out of the nest. How can you trust God? By jumping out of the boat and know that God will protect you when you're walking on the water, when you're going through the fire, when you're going through the storm. Bill Howard, when you fall down on the ice, do we know that God is able to take care of it? How do we know? Because we got a testimony that God has done it before. He's done it back then. He'll do it right now. Hallelujah to God. Don't you know that? And sanctified people understand that God is calling us to a place of devotion and holiness, to where the world is just so distasteful to us that we will long and pray for the return of the Lord. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Truth always battles and attacks our personal theology. In the book of Joshua, when Joshua and 70 elders went up to the mountain to be with God, there were two that were left in the camp, two people in the camp that the Holy Ghost moved on, and they prophesied. And there were those that said, shut them down. They're prophesying there, they're not with us. And Joshua said, envious them for my sake? Would God that all the Lord's people would be prophets and that God would put his spirit upon them. It's not about personal theology, not about personal feelings. The disciples declared when they saw somebody casting out devils that did not go with them. In Mark 9:38, they said, we saw somebody casting out devils that didn't follow us. And Jesus said, leave them alone, because if they're not against me, then they are for me. Truth versus personal theology. Doctrines that are standards in the Word of God must be held on to and clung to and not rejected because the world finds them distasteful. John wrote and said in 1 John 4:1, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they be of God, for there are many false prophets that have gone into the world. I don't pay attention to crazy liberals or crazy conservatives. I pay attention to the Word. And the reason I first said liberal is because watching this crazy woman, not about her gender, she was just crazy. I'm just identifying her. No offense. This crazy woman with this priestly robe on, pastoring her liberal church, said that if Jesus was here today, he was said, blessed are they that have had an abortion. Crazy, crazy, crazy. Crazy liberalism that moves away from doctrines that must be embraced by the body, by the true church. Because the word of God said in Psalm 119:84 that forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Can I get an amen? The word settled means to stand before an officer. That means that the word of God stands before an officer of heaven. Forever, it is settled there. That no matter what happens on the earth, it doesn't change what's in heaven. Come on, somebody. That we may make all kind of accusations and back away, but God says, no, that is settled here. And if you're going to spend eternity here, you're going to have to live by what is settled in this place. Berea Church of God, let's not run away from the Word of God. Let's run to the Word of God, and let's speak the Word of God. Let's pray the Word of God. Let's declare the Word of God. Because forever, O Lord, thy Word is settled in heaven. And Jesus is the Word. Tom, would you come, please? I got a lot. I could just preach a long time here today. I've teased somebody, and I said, if you come to church Sunday, they're not here today, by the way, the person I was teasing. So they must have thought I was being serious. Because I said, if my text is the Bible, then you know you're in for a long day. So they decided not to come today. So I'll give you their name, call them and say, it wasn't that bad. Wasn't that bad. But Jesus is the Word. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was God. And the Word was with God. And then the Bible says that the Word in verse 14 of John 1 was made flesh. Dwelt among us. We beheld his glory as the glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We saw him. The Word said, Jesus the Word said, you have tasted and handled the Word of life. The Word of God says that, I should say. You've tasted and handled the Word of life. So when we come here, the standard is always going to be Jesus. Now, if I was doing cue cards, I would hold up a sign that said clap. I really expected feedback there. Loud feedback, I mean. But anyway, the standard is and always will be Jesus. It doesn't matter what else goes on anywhere, right? I mean, would you agree with me? Is that what you want? I mean, it doesn't matter if you, I mean, I know you want it. It's the reason I said that. But that's what we want here, right? We want this place to be a Jesus place. We're not going to back away from Jesus. We're not going to run away from Jesus. We're not going to be embarrassed about Jesus. We're not going to apologize for Jesus. We're going to preach Jesus. We're going to sing about Jesus. We're going to embrace the love of Jesus. And we're going to love each other in the name of Jesus and love a world, hopefully, to a relationship with Jesus. Because it's all about him. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The doctrine of Christ says, if you say you have fellowship with him, now get this, hear this, please hear this. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. He called you a liar, not me. He called you a liar, not me. He said, if you say you love me, and if you say you walk with me, and you say you have fellowship with me, and you're out here living in darkness, you're lying. You have bought a liberal postmodern lie that says that how you live don't matter because you are who you are. You are, have you heard this one? Oh, you're just the way God made you. Oh, you're just perfect the way God made you. You're just who God made you to be. I tell you what I was. Are you ready? I was vile. I was lost. I was ugly. I needed help. I needed hope. I needed a Savior. And guess what? I found one. Hallelujah to God. In my life. Dear God in heaven, And I'm going to somehow now, in a world that is uncomfortable with what we believe and what we preach, it somehow I'm going to back up now and say, well, I'm going to back up. I'm going to calm down. I'm going to change my mind a little bit. You know, we really do need to reach the world, and we need to kind of calm stuff down. Listen to me, Berea Church of God. You know what the world is hungry for? The world is hungry for some hope. They're hungry for some help. They need somebody that will tell them the truth. Will you help me, praise God, right now? That's what the world needs. Your house on fire? What do you want? Firefighters. You having a stroke at your house? What do you want? A wife that can pick you up. You didn't know Donna was all buffed. She could pick me up off the floor and get me in a car and stick aspirin under my tongue and take care. That's what I want. She made a decision. I'm not going to call 911 because it may take them too long to get here. I'm going to get you there. And by the grace of God, she did. I'm going to celebrate just in 2 weeks. A year ago, that happened. Hallelujah to God. Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. Glory to you. Come on, let's praise him right now. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. I feel his spirit in this place. God, and we're going to receive an offering for the homeless ministry. So please, don't let me forget that. But says that God has called us to live a sanctified life. Sanctified by the Word, because the Word is truth. The Word is unmovable. The Word is true north. The Word is established, forever established in heaven. It stands before the supreme authority and glory, unchangeable. So it doesn't matter what we think, it's what saith the Word of God. And by the grace of God, the Berea Church of God, and your pastor, as long as God allows me to shepherd you, that we're going to rededicate ourselves and redevote ourselves to the authority of Scripture and never apologize for what God said. And never, ever hide from what God said. And never try to change what God said. That when we're out of step, God doesn't have to move. We move to him. That's what God is calling us to. Are you with me today? So I want to pray for you, and then I don't know what else we're going to do. I don't know. But Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for my church family. I feel your presence. I know, Father God, that we put sometimes far too much emphasis on what we feel, because it's not about what we feel. But we Pentecostals love to feel it. And there is a presence that we can feel. And we feel that presence in this house today. Thank you for the Word of God that is forever established, that has gone forth today for worship, that brings resurrection power into our lives, and the Word that has the power to change us. Thank you for a man of God that stood before his Sunday school class today and said that I've gotten too comfortable. And God has rebuked me for that and called me to not be. And spoke that into 30 other people or 28 other people that ministered life to us. And now I preach that to many more. And say, Father God, don't ever let us become comfortable in sin. Don't let us become comfortable in worldliness or in compromise. I rebuke right now, Father God, that spirit that says, oh, well, times change. Oh, well, people change. I rebuke that in Jesus' name. That will not take root in this church. We call on the King of Glory to fill us with his power. We call, oh God, oh Jesus, oh God, we call for holy fire. We call for holy fire to burn in every cell of our body, to purify us and sanctify us and make decisions that we will be holy by the grace of God because you've called us to be. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Let your power fall. Let your voice be heard. Come and change our hearts as we stand on your word. Holy Spirit, rain down. Sing with us, church. Sing.
And Holy Spirit, rain.